Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Educators have long realized that giving students opportunities to apply their knowledge in real-world situations reaps tremendous rewards. Not only are students learning and expanding their perspective, they become empowered and energized by these experiences. The Barnstable Human Rights Academy is an example of such an opportunity. In a few minutes, students from the Academy join us to talk about their experiences. But first, we welcome Reverend Dr. Kate Epperle. She's Vice Chair of the Barnstable County Human Rights Commission. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also with us is Larry Brown, humanities teacher at Cape Cod Academy. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
So the Human Rights Academy is organized by the Barnstable County Human Rights Commission. How long has this been going on, and what was the impetus to start the academy?
It's been at least 10 years.
This is our 11th concert, which is part of the academy. So it's 11 years ago now. The challenge came out to schools across Cape Cod to come and meet together twice a year and to try to identify issues of civil rights, human rights concerns, and then challenging each school to either come up with a project that would boost awareness in the school or in the community, or to actually do something practical to help folks.
Mm-hmm. So Larry, how long has Cape Cod Academy then been involved, and why do you think it's an important activity for your students?
It's a window into the outside world, out of campus, out of the immediate concerns that students have about grades and sports and all of the things that we're doing in-house. And I think it touches the conscience. It wakes people up to the idea that however comfortable they may or may not be in their personal lives, that there's a lot going on outside and needs that are unmet.
Yeah. Kate, how often does the Academy meet, and who's eligible to participate?
Well, I think it has to do with each campus that's involved having an advisor and some sort of affinity group through which they work. And it might be a human rights club, or it could be the Gay Straight Alliance or Key Club or whichever group chooses to do it. That's pretty much it. Mm. You just join up and say, I want to do this.
So are most schools on the Cape represented?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, that's
this
great.
Year we got the Waldorf School on for the first time, but... otherwise, all public schools, high schools, mm-hmm. and a couple of middle schools, P-Town, Nauset, and Monmoy, are involved with it.
Larry, how does recruitment for the Human Rights Academy work?
Mostly mouth-to-mouth between the kids. Mm-hmm. And we have morning meeting announcements where the kids talk to each other about things they're doing. So when we're organizing, say, our project, which is Shelter from the Storm, we're going to have kids coming up in morning meeting and saying, we need volunteers. Here's what we're about to do. We do benefit coffee houses, which also the same group mm-hmm. puts on. So the kids are talking to each other, and they just show up.
Yeah. So do you have more interest than space in the program? I mean, do you have a lot of kids? Do you have everything? For as many kids who want to take part, you have space?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. All right. So how is the work of the Human Rights Academy incorporated into your curriculum?
I don't know that it's in the curriculum. Mm-hmm. I think it runs parallel to it. But there are opportunities. For example, if we're working on hunger on Cape Cod right now, there's an opportunity to do some research and find out who's hungry, why are they hungry, where are they living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kate, is that true for the other schools too? I mean, how does that?
Well, at Nauset Regional High School, Lisa Brown, among several teachers there, they teach courses on diversity, mm-hmm. and again, it runs parallel but not unrelated as issues come up and awareness is mm-hmm. created.
Okay. All right, so we're going to hear from some students themselves. Now joining us in the studio from Cape Cod Academy is Ashley Gay and Ryan Edmonds, both seniors and members of the Human Rights Academy. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
And then on the phone we have Isabel Pellegrini. She's a senior at Nauset High School and the current president of Human Rights Academy. Welcome, Isabel.
Thank you very much.
And we have Miles Pellegrini, Isabel's twin and past president of Human Rights Academy. Welcome, Miles.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And then joining us from the Provincetown Schools, where she's an eighth grader and member of the Human Rights Academy, is Kaylee Brown. Hi, Kaylee.
Hi.
Kaylee, we're going to start with you. Why did you want to participate in the Human Rights Academy?
Well, our school's been represented there since 2013, so they've been there around as long as the Human Rights Academy has been in Barnstable and, like, running and having students come. And it's usually a tradition to have seventh graders attend. So I didn't attend this past season, but I attended last year. So we are an IB school. And when you're in eighth grade or 10th grade, that's when the middle school, you know, ends. You do, mm-hmm. you're supposed to do a service project that will benefit members of your community. And you have to put in at least 15 hours of service and have it have some sort of an impact on the people you're serving.
Miles, how many years have you participated in the Academy, and what initially got you interested?
Yeah, so I've been participating since probably my freshman year. And so during my freshman year, I took Lisa Brown's class on diversity. It's called Exploring and Respecting Differences. And in that class, we sort of talked about social justice issues that are focused primarily on Cape Cod, but also nationally. And that just got me really interested in the subject and wanting to do more for my community. So I heard about the after-school program, Human Rights Academy, and ever since then, I've been an active member, and I love it. So it's been a great experience.
Isabel, same question for you.
Yeah, so I joined Human Rights Academy my freshman year, and same as Miles, I have been taking the Exploring Respecting Differences course all 4 years, and the combination of Exploring Respecting Differences, we call it ERD at Nauset, the combination of ERD and Human Rights Academy has definitely changed my life. I've really found my passion in human rights and the work that we have to do in protecting human rights. Mm-hmm. And I've loved Human Rights Academy for that.
Ryan, what about you?
I took a bit of an unorthodox route into getting into this kind of thing. I started actually, instead of starting in the Human Rights Club, I started with Cape Cod Academy's Coffee House program, which Mr. Brown mentioned earlier. I did a bit of performing, but mainly what I do for those and for Shelter from the Storm, which is our big one for the Human Rights Academy, is I run all of the tech, and I organize the sound, organize the performers along with Ashley. So I did started at maybe seventh grade, mm-hmm. but I didn't actually join the Human Rights Association core of it until a little over a year ago. So it was a bit of a, I worked on the Coffeehouse Project and then realized that there was, you know, a bigger thing behind this. So I'd say I've been working parallel to the program for maybe 5 years now.
What about you, Ashley?
Well, yeah, I didn't really have the traditional way of just like joining the club or something, but human rights have always been very important to me. And it was just always something in my life. But I actually got involved in the club when Mr. Brown saw me speak at a community meeting for the Segeza on Cape Cod. And I made a pitch for helping them personally with one of our coffee house funds. And Mr. Brown asked for me to join the club immediately afterwards.
All right, so Larry, as the Human Rights Academy, how do they identify the human rights issue and then figure out what to do about it? What's the process at Cape Cod Academy?
Because the first year we went, we were all challenged, all the schools, to come up with a project. And because we had done the Coffee House program already for 20-some years, it seemed like a logical extension to do a mega coffee house and get the best singers, dancers, and musicians from high schools across the Cape. And then do a, like our coffee houses were benefit mm-hmm. programs. We've probably raised, I'm guessing, over $70,000 over the years for various mm-hmm. charities. So we knew it worked. So why not do a mega benefit concert, and we did it at the college, at the Tilden Arts Center, and see what we could do. So we've been doing it now for, this is our 11th mm-hmm. concert. Wow. So we fed the Noah Shelter for 4 months with the first one we did, and we didn't have very many donors online at that point. It was largely what we could get from ticket sales, and one or two donors came in. So that's really, at that point, it obviously worked. The performers mm-hmm. got into it too. I think the performers that come know that they're, this year they're feeding people. We're trying to provide for 15,000 hot dinners for over 600 Cape residents 3 days a week. And we're trying to see if we can raise the money to fund the whole thing for a year.
All right. Let's.
Kids want to do that.
Yeah. All right. So how does it work, Kaylee, for you at your school? How do you just determine what the human rights issue is and then figure out what to do about it?
Well, since my grade was in sixth grade, we decided, because our teacher, Ms. Flasher, who does our community projects class, used to have a tradition where she'd take $100 and send it to a charity of the student's choice. But instead, we decided that we didn't want to just spend something simple like a goat for what we were using that year, the heifer program. So mm-hmm. we decided to branch out and do something a little more expensive and a little more impactful. We decided to send a girl to school through the program. And our school had used to do, like, candy grams and Valentine's, but they stopped doing that years before. And someone had brought it up, one of the teachers, so we decided to make that, like, a fundraiser for the Sunday Girls School Project. And in the past 2 years, we made enough to send how many? Two girls to school, which mm-hmm. is roughly, like, we've raised, like, $300. Mm-hmm. But since the heifer in Western Mass closed, which is really, really deeply heartbreaking because our school's always had a lot of memories there and it's gotten students into human rights. Well, this year's the year our 8th grade projects happen. So two of our students, Jasmine Perez and Tess Olson, have decided to carry it on for climate change, which is a very big problem present in our society. And they've been working with the whole school to raise enough money to fund for, like, climate change studies, Be Sure, whatever. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, but I know it has to do with animals and an organization. So,
Miles, what was the human rights issue at your school and last year, and how did you address it?
Well, our club does it a little bit differently. We don't really pick one topic throughout the year to focus on. We usually do it on a weekly or monthly basis, and we are really focused on raising awareness on certain issues that directly affect our communities. So at our meetings, we have little roundtable sessions, and we sort of propose a few issues that we see in our community and ways we can discuss it and make it, like, wider known in our society. So, like, recently we have done white privilege, and we noticed that we come from a relatively affluent society, and so we needed to bring this issue to the greater conscious. So we hosted a conference at our school where I think almost 600 people came, and it was a really, really great event. And I think that it impacted our society and our community and sort of started a dialogue that normally wouldn't have happened. So we approach it more on a weekly or monthly basis and sort of try to bring awareness to issues that are impacting our society, like our community.
Mm. Isabel,
We really try to include every voice in our academy on input for what issue we want to tackle next. And so we do that through kind of considering what issues we recognize in our society most deeply affects the students at our school or deeply affects our community, or what issues the members in our club feel most passionate about. Mm. And it's also kind of influential, or it's influenced by current events. So, for example, in more towards the fall, we focused on raising funds to aid the hurricane relief in Puerto Rico. So it's mostly based on what factors deeply influence students at our school and our community and current events that we feel we need to help out in.
Mm. Kaylee, how do you define human rights, and have your views on what constitutes human rights changed since you started at Human Rights Academy? Mm.
May I first say, so sorry if you heard the announcements. My view has changed a bit, that I've become more passionate, and it's opened my mind to other issues on Cape Cod and other human rights, like, groups and other schools. And it's really helped with my project this year, which is focusing on, like, raising awareness and, like, volunteering with people who are, like, disabled and raising awareness to able people about acts of ableism that can be, like, you know, totally normal and abled community society, but might actually hurt people's feelings. And, like, the right to, like, live and the right to own your, like, possessions and, like, the right to have a family, which isn't always granted to people who are deemed, like, less fit to do so because of a disability that they have, and that's not fair. Mm-hmm. So, like, just raising awareness overall about that.
Yeah, Ryan, same question for you. How do you define human rights, and has your view changed since you've been with the club?
I think my view has definitely changed for the past few years, because when I started with the Coffee House program, I was definitely more focused on the aspect of the Coffee House than where the money was being raised for. That was before our community meeting system was as defined as it is now, so sometimes I actually did not know what we were raising for. But definitely in past years, I've been able to get a more concrete view on what we're doing for the community, and I think overall it's just sort of how can you make the overall community the best it can be.
Mm. Ashley, what about you?
I don't know exactly what I define human rights as. I think it's one of those universal concepts that's hard to put, like, an actual definition on, but I'd say my personal view of human rights has definitely expanded since I've joined, because I know when I started in human rights just as, like, a middle schooler, when I started first thinking about it, it was very personal and what affected me personally in terms of human rights. But since I've joined, I've definitely started seeing a more universal theme of human rights.
Isabel?
I think, so aside from the Human Rights Academy, one of the most influential factors that has led to my passion for human rights was the trip that I went to with other fellow members of the Human Rights Academy but it was in 2016, and we traveled to the Netherlands and The Hague to attend an international human rights summit with 2,000 other students from around the globe, and it was incredibly inspiring. But what I learned from that was how to, well, first of all, I more deeply understood the concept of human rights and how it's a fundamental right that each human being is entitled to. And there's a great deal that we need to do collectively as a society and around the world to ensure those rights for everyone. And so at that conference, what I really came to realize was the power that our generation holds to come together and unite and collaborate on effective solutions to create a better future for everyone. So I guess that's how my understanding of human rights and my interpretation of human rights has changed over the years, because as I've become more active in my community and in the Human Rights Academy and in my school, I've been able to work with all sorts of different students and different people in our community, and that's been incredibly inspiring in showing me how to better effectively advocate for human rights.
Larry, you want to jump in?
Yeah, just because we're on radio and your listeners can't see how old I am. but I was in school in the 50s and 60s, and during the period that I went through my later school years in college, there was a lot of social activism, and some stuff got done. But if you were to ask my generation, how many people did you clothe? How many people did you house? How many people did you feed? The answer would be close to none. American kids today give over 1 billion hours of community service across the country, and they are feeding and clothing and housing people. And so I think this is a better generation than my own.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kate, I want to ask you, Isabel said something really interesting there. She said the power of our generation. And that stuck out because that is so true, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. I cannot... myself, as someone who's also old, it's just there's so many things. You've named several, among them climate change. And if you don't take action as a teen, I don't know how you get out of bed in the morning. I mean, it's just it's needed, it's required, and we have to support each other. And that's one of my missions and goals is to help those who are younger than myself become equipped and inspired that you can make a difference from the ripple effect. I just believe that's true.
We're talking about the Barnstable Human Rights Academy. More after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Ashley Gay, Ryan Edmond, Isabel Pellegrini, Miles Pellegrini, and Kaylee Brown, all CAPE students who are part of the Barnstable Human Rights Academy. Also with us, Larry Brown from Cape Cod Academy and Kate Epperly from the Barnstable Human Rights Commission. All right, Miles, talk about how your views on what constitutes human rights has changed since you started.
Yeah, when I first started in the Human Rights Academy in my freshman year, I was pretty, unsure of what human rights meant to me, but through the entire experience, it has solidified for me. And it's really just everyone, no matter who they are, you know, their religion, their race, their sexuality, all of these factors can't really negate their humanity and that everyone needs to be treated as humans and with respect. And so that's what I try to do with the Human Rights Academy. And that's one of the biggest things that I associate with human rights. And to add to what has been said about our generation, of which I'm a part of, I can see my classmates and myself, we're really questioning all, like the prejudices that people in the past have held. And I think this is the first generation where we aren't settling for how it is now. We're trying to make it a better place. And I see it in almost every aspect of my life with my peers. And so it's really great to be part of this movement that's really helping change the world for the better.
Niles, I just want to say all the heads are nodding here as you're talking. Go ahead. Who was jumping in there? Was that Isabella Kaylee? Okay, go ahead.
This is Kaylee. Okay. I wanted to add on to what Miles said. Is I saw a statistic that says the generation of those born between 1999 and 2006 have the highest rate of mixed race, like marriage, like relationships being of mixed race origin and birth, the most immigrant population, and the most LGBT people, and that they said that this generation is going to be the one that changes the world the most because they have
suffered the prejudices and they've seen what their grandparents and their parents have said and fought, and they've like reacted to it, and with the internet and everything, they're able to form their own opinions. Like, you know, even if you grow up in a house where it's taught that X, Y, and Z are bad people, you can learn their side of the story and form your own opinion and think, wait a second, how are they thinking? How are they feeling? And even if you're not really LGBT and you're not a person of color and you're not really affected by it, by certain biases that the society that we live in still holds, you could still read about their opinion and learn what they think and learn how they react to it, even if you've never met someone who's ever been oppressed or marginalized by society. You can still learn because the internet connects the whole world and connects everybody, so you can know what your voice actually does and what it's doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Isabel, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned about your own experience getting this global perspective. So do you, do you have discussions about the value of addressing issues close to home versus globally? And what do you find compelling in these arguments?
That's something that we actually do face in HRA quite often. We tend to become most passionate about the issues that affect us most closely. And so by extension, that would be local issues, local human rights violations. And that's what we can most directly use our voice to stand up against. And so we do focus on tackling local human rights issues. But by extension, I think that we can use our experience in fighting against these local violations to therefore go to a greater scale and try and add our voice to the discussion in more national or even international human rights violations. And I might also add that from my perspective, every social justice issue or social injustice that we see on a global scale, I think can really be condensed down to a local level. And so I guess I'll give an example, the human trafficking epidemic that's really prevalent across the globe. That seems like a really daunting issue to tackle, and it is. But if you condense that down to your local community, you can see that human trafficking is an issue even here on the Cape. And so if we try and fix or find a solution for human trafficking or sex trafficking or labor trafficking on Cape, that does bring us one step closer to fixing the problem on a global scale. So I think the both local and global social injustices are very much intertwined.
Yeah, Kayleigh, I want to ask you the same thing. Was it difficult to agree on an issue? Talk about the discussion that goes into deciding what your project will be.
Well, our class tries to focus on local issues. Our class has about 10 students, so we all focus on different issues. We can team up, but the groups can't be any more than 3 people. So fundamentally, everyone's doing a different thing. So usually it's your own choice to decide what human rights you focus on, what global context you focus on, what you do, and who you help. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, I'm working on, like, rights for disabled people and, like, raising awareness and volunteering, while the group that's doing climate change is focusing on, like, raising money, raising awareness. There's a student who's working on, like, cleaning up our beaches, cleaning up our oceans through an art project. There are 2 students who are focusing on, like, talking to the elderly and, like, the human rights of people who are older and, like, talking to them and seeing what their perspectives are and, you know, just talking to people and being friends. So they're focusing on the senior center and rehabilitation center that's very close to our school, like, not even, like, a mile away. And there's also people who are focusing on, like, a web page for fair representation. Like, they don't, like, the students working on a web page to, like, raise awareness and, like, raise money and stuff like that.
Go ahead.
And the student population.
Okay, Ashley.
I think something that you just said that I think is really a good point to touch on is discussion. I think that's really important in terms of human rights, and it's also what makes the Human Rights Academy so successful and honestly just fun. Because, like, so in personal terms, my sister is 21 years old, and we are both adopted from different parts of China, and our parents are both white. So, I mean, that leaves, she's a good 5 years older than me. So there's a lot of different gaps there. And we've all lived together in the same house for the past 16 to 21 years. But we still need to have discussions because we all experience literally just everyday things differently. And so we do. Our family just talks a lot. That's what family dinners are for. And in a more informative way than argumentative. So I think that's a really important thing for human rights.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Ryan, tell us about Shelter from the Storm, the concert. Tell us what it's all about for folks who don't know what it is.
So Shelter is this big thing we run every February, actually next week, at the Atildon Arts Center at Keokuk Community College. And basically it's a sort of a large-scale talent show. We take, you know, every high school on Cape Cod, and some middle schoolers, and we get, you know, the best performers of really all veins that we can, and then, you know, we have one great night of fun at the Tilden Arts Center. And
do you audition people, or is anybody welcome?
We do our audition program. There's not many formal auditions, but we usually quote audition people through the coffee houses. Because those are the smaller shows, we run those more than once a year. So usually, what happens is if a performer's interested in working with this stuff, we'll put them in one of the earlier coffee houses of the year, and then from there we can slot them into the Shelter performance.
All right, Kate, what are some of the other issues that schools participating in the Human Rights Academy have taken on, and how have they addressed them?
Well, Larry's got more history on that than I. I've attended several, but we do a round robin in the fall where there's tables with representatives from a variety of agencies where they get a chance to get exposed to what the variety of humans' issues, rights issues are, and then how they choose them and how they run. Larry, why don't you talk?
I know that a bunch of years ago, and I think it was DY, did a program on bullying. And having gotten the idea in upper school, they got the middle school next door to try implementing it, and it worked well. And when the state of Massachusetts was discussing legislation on bullying, they sent a delegation of kids up to the state house and said, look, you can't talk about this stuff without having students. And they actually, I have some language that's in the final legislation that this group brought up to.
Oh, talk about empowering.
We've had groups. Riverview has for years been interested in clean water supplies for villages in Africa, and they've done a walk to water program that raises money so that one by one they get clean water access village by village by village. There have been groups that have looked at exploitation of workers in products. So if you're buying chocolate or you're buying cocoa, you might want to know which companies exploit Central American workers and which ones don't. And so each school will pick targets of subjects that interest the kids at that particular moment. Yeah. For us, with the Shelter concert, we've raised enough money now that people come to us and say, would you do a Shelter for us? And so we'll have the CEOs of local nonprofits come in and talk to our team, and the kids pick who they help.
Yeah.
And they run the concert and do the whole thing.
Do you have a goal? I mean, do you have a goal of a number that you like to raise with these concerts?
Two years ago, we raised $15,000, and we're able to rebuild 10 living units for the Safe Harbor Shelter for Battered Women and Children. And the kids, again, picked that after visiting the site. And, I mean, they're doing everything they could do. They were underfunded. Then last year, they raised $25,000 with the Shelter concert for an opioid addiction program for young people that the Duffy Health Center was opening. And then last May, wasn't it? Last May?
Yes.
That Edie Naismith from the Council of Churches came and pitched to the kids the hunger issue on Cape Cod, which is real. A third of the hungry on the Cape are children.
Right.
And so here's this kitchen, the Faith Family Kitchen, attempting to feed 600 families and individuals, three dinners, hot dinners a week. And with the kind of money we raised last year, she challenged the kids and said, do you want to do one for us? And we think we can feed everybody for a year. So next Friday's concert is to raise money to do just that.
Yeah. Ashley, we sort of mentioned that sometimes you get volunteers from other students who may not be part of the Human Rights Academy. So is it tough to get other students involved who may not be really familiar with the Human Rights Academy? Or does that sometimes you serve as a recruitment tool to get them interested to maybe do more?
Not particularly. Since CCA is quite small, word of mouth travels pretty quickly. And also, a lot of times people will get involved because it's like their friends like, oh, I'm going to the coffee house tonight after practice. You want to go? And then they see what they do. And they're like, oh, I'll help out if you need anything. So, no, it's very casual and easy.
Okay, Ryan?
Yeah, I think the coffee house and shelter overall is a really good, maybe not specifically worded as a recruitment tool, but I think it's really cool at getting people interested in the human rights. I mean, that was me specifically. I didn't know that the coffee house was part of the Human Rights Association until I started working on it, and then I learned about that, and then that's when I was a part of the human rights. So I think the fact that through a coffee house we're able to get performers from all over the Cape who may or may not be in the Human Rights Academy, and then, you know, get them exposed to what we do, I just think the coffee house system is a really good way of getting more people.
Right. All right. So Isabel or Miles, what about at your school? How do you get, I guess, recruit kids or get them to volunteer on your projects?
You know, the first and foremost, I think that a lot of HRA member or Human Rights Academy members come from our Exploring and Respecting Differences class, because then that's taught by Lisa Brown, who is also our advisor for the Human Rights Academy. And in ERD, as I already mentioned, that's Exploring and Respecting Differences. That's really a platform where we are educated about the issues, and we come to understand the social dynamics within our society and what diversity means, and everything like that. And then the Human Rights Academy is where students can come take that information and find an issue that they are specifically passionate about, and really use the Human Rights Academy as a tool or a catalyst to enact more beneficial change that they wish to see. But of course, it's not specific to only students who take Exploring and Respecting Differences class, but that's one of the ways that we get a lot of members, because students find out that they're really passionate about an issue, and they say, let's go to Human Rights Academy and try and see what we can do about it.
Yeah. Kaylee, how about your school? Go ahead, Miles.
So our school, NOSSET in general, is an incredibly progressive school, and I think every single kid who goes to NOSSET really wants to have a positive effect on their community. And so the Human Rights Academy is just a very, very appealing outlet for that, like, need to help others and to be an activist in their own community. And everyone at our school has social justice issues or human rights issues that they're passionate about it, and they recognize that Human Rights Academy is a place where they can come get their voice heard and be respected and make a difference. And so we really just get people who may not even be in Lisa's classes. They come to our meetings because they know that it's a safe spot where they can affect positive change in their community. And so I find that our meetings are always very highly attended, and it's just a very great environment.
All right, Kaylee, what about at your school?
Well, our school, we have to keep in mind, is a kindergarten through eighth grade population. Mm-hmm. So anything that we're going to, like, use to get people involved has to be child appropriate for, like, little kids, mm-hmm. and something that they can grasp their heads around too, because our school is very small and tight-knit. So it's not really nothing's really kindergarten centric or sixth grade centric. It's pretty much like everyone's and everyone's thing. Mm. So one way we use to get kids involved is we have an old button maker that someone found one day in this flash question, like, hey, why don't we use this? So we've been making buttons, and we've been getting better each year for the school, and the kids will get them, and they'll buy them for $1 each with a little bit of candy, which is our candy grams. And this year we're using that for climate change. And last year and the year before, we used that for education. We just started using the buttons last year. So the year before that, we made, like, bracelets and stuff. Just stuff that can get everyone involved. It's, like, simple enough that you don't have to, like, spend tons of money that you might not have, because we have kids from all sorts of, like, economic and sociographic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, we don't know how much money their parents make. So keep it inexpensive,
but enough to make an impact with enough people buying it. So the people that can afford more tend to buy for their whole class or buy for the whole middle school, elementary school, or the whole school itself. Mm-hmm. And the kids that can't afford as much might just buy one or two. Oh. But in a way, it like makes sure everyone gets a voice and everyone is aware and learns.
We're discussing the Barnstable Human Rights Academy. We'll talk more after a short break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the Barnstable Human Rights Academy with students Kaylee Brown, Isabel Pellegrini, Miles Pellegrini, Ashley Gay, and Ryan Edmond. Also with us, Kate Epperly from the Barnstable Human Rights Commission and Larry Brown from Cape Cod Academy. All right, so this is a question for everyone. And Ryan, we're going to start with you. What's been the most rewarding part of Human Rights Academy for you, and what's been the most challenging?
I think most rewarding and challenging, it's actually the same thing. It's, you know, our entire program in general. I mean, last year, Shelter from the Storm was probably the single, maybe not most stressful night of last year, but definitely the most rewarding, being able to, you know, see everything run so smoothly. And then, you know, the week after that, being able to, you know, being able to present a check to Duffy. And I mean, that was really, you know, that really felt good. That was sort of the, here's material evidence that we have made a difference.
Yeah. Ashley?
I think it's probably the same, the literal night of Shelter. That is definitely extremely stressful. Actually, after it ended on time, which we didn't think was going to happen. the previous last year's directors and Ryan and I all hugged and cried. So it was extremely stressful. But as Ryan said, just to see it as like a culmination of everything you've been working for is also extremely rewarding.
Isabel?
For me personally, I believe that there's two most rewarding things about HRA, and one of them would be the passion that I have found and the purpose that I have found through activism and through social justice and through the Human Rights Academy. And I now see myself pursuing the protection of human rights for far more years into my future. So I'm grateful to the Human Rights Academy for allowing me to have an outlet and a venue to, you know, be a have a greater voice in my community. And then with that, going off of that, my second most rewarding thing would be the new perspective that I've had of my community because of the Human Rights Academy. You know, through the different projects we've had, I now feel much more connected and much more empowered with and through my community to make a positive difference. And through different projects like, you know, the White Privilege Symposium we hosted in the fall with, you know, internationally renowned activists in their field, Eddie Moore and Peggy McIntosh and others. Through those events, through the Martin Luther King Day celebration, and different events like that, I've really come in touch with the amazing core group of activists that are in my community, and I feel much more connected with them, and because of that connection, I feel much more empowered. So those are two very rewarding things about the Human Rights Academy.
Miles?
I'd say the most rewarding thing about my involvement in HRA has been just the absolute amazing group of student activists that I've come to know and become very close with. I consider them some of my best friends, and it's just been really great to get to know all of them, and that wouldn't have been possible without HRA. And also just, you know, through my years from freshman year until now my senior year, almost 4 years, literally before my very eyes, I've seen my school become more progressive and more accepting and more open to discussions about human rights. So it's just been an incredible and rewarding experience for me.
Kaylee?
The most rewarding thing is thinking that you can make a difference and that you can help people less fortunate than you just by, like, donating some money. And I carry that belief with me with really whatever I do, like buying stuff online from people, like artists that might be struggling or in it, like supporting their families or whatever, and or donating stuff, signing petitions, like going to like marches and stuff. You don't always have to think about yourself, but you have to think about who you're like helping and like if it's like worth helping and like what that person's going to think. And that also goes to challenging things. Well, people might like gripe and complain about how challenging something is. It's not really about you. Like you're the part of volunteering is it's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be like this big teamwork experience like you'd see in like High School Musical or something, you know, singing and dancing and flowers and love and stuff. Sometimes it's hard and you're digging out dune shacks out of the sand, or, you know, you're helping feed people and you've never cooked before, you know, so it's not really about you, but it's about who you're helping. And when things get challenging, I like to keep in mind who I'm helping and how this is going to help them and how they're going to feel and how I would feel if someone did that for me. And that kind of just keeps you going, you know?
Yeah, that was a great answer. Kate, so what kind of feedback do you get from educators participating in schools? What do they tell you about this? I mean, we're hearing some great stuff from the students themselves.
Well, again, we on the commission, the Barnesville Human Rights Commission, which sponsors this, you know, we work closely with the teachers, so we're right in the midst of it with them. And but in particular, I could say certainly that having talked to Lisa Brown and others, that it gives a wider platform that not only educates but just gets you to understand how important it is to come together across diversities, schools, ages. And we are allied with wider groups that serve human rights, of course, all the way up to the human rights efforts of the oh boy, here I am having a senior moment. What is that agency in The Hague?
The UN.
The UN. There you go. that's important too, I think.
Yeah. Larry, how does Cape Cod Academy measure or evaluate the importance of Human Rights Academy as an experience for the students?
I think what it is less of an evaluation. We've got this tradition now between coffee houses and now shelter for the last 30 years of seeing kids waking up intellectually, artistically, and morally. Not all of them being kids in our academy with the shelter, but now we've probably had over 2,000 kids come through this process as performers and as organizers. And between the coffee houses and shelter, we've seen young people raise somewhere around $200,000 that has gone back into the community to take care of people in trouble. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And so we get to be a part of a larger thing through the Human Rights Academy. The kids who perform we got three big dance academies coming next Friday. We've got the entire Youth Symphony Orchestra performing with kids from all over the Cape, and then individual singers, dancers, and musicians. And it's beautiful. Mm. That's the only word I can use. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm privileged to have been able to see it.
All right, so four of you are seniors, and I think Isabel, you mentioned that you will be continuing on with after your experiences in Human Rights Academy, that you will continue
Definitely.
That kind of. So I want to know from the rest of you your thoughts, Ryan. What's going to happen after graduation?
I think I definitely want to take this Coffee House and Shelter from the Storm program and see how that can be applied in college, because it's such a simple idea. You know, people have talents and people want to showcase them, so let's turn it into something that helps the community.
Ashley?
I know that I'm definitely going to continue it. I'm not sure in what form. I know Boston University has many extracurriculars where I can do that. I think I might also minor in international relations or human rights, but I know I'm going to keep up
something.
With it somehow.
All right, Miles?
Human rights are definitely going to be a big part of my life going forward. I think in college I'm going to study political science or journalism. I might double major, so I'm going to apply the concept of human rights to those disciplines. And
Isabel, do you have any specific ideas of what you'll do?
I think I'm similar with everyone else in that I know I want to continue to pursue human rights and social justice, but I'm not sure in exact what specific venue. I'm not trying to go off on a tangent here, but by extension, the Haiti chapter of the Human Rights Academy, we've traveled to Haiti annually, and I've gone on that trip, and that has inspired me to look at how we can use local and community endeavors to better ensure a financially sustainable future for women in impoverished countries and impoverished areas. And so that is one area or aspect of human rights that I'm particularly interested in. So I'm hoping to develop that further. So I guess stay tuned.
And Kaylee, are you planning on continuing with Human Rights Academy? And if so, are there particular issues that you have in mind that you would like to address in the coming years?
Next year, I'll be attending Sturgis High School, preferably the West Campus. Go Gators! But I see myself pursuing human rights in the future, too, as, like, focusing on LGBT rights and the rights for people who are disabled and the rights for people who are less fortunate than I am, maybe between their economic stance or people who are marginalized due to things that are out of their control, such as things like, you know, skin color, hair color, you know, and, like, your sexuality or any disabilities that you might have, and, like, how that shouldn't come to play when you become, like, friends with people. And I'm not sure what groups they have there, but I'm looking to join the Gay Straight Alliance at the school, which I know they have, and maybe a human rights group if they have it. So if anyone knows what Sturgis' human rights game is, someone email me.
I was going to say, oh, Kaylee, if there isn't one, I have a feeling you may start one of your own. Larry, I want to ask you about the students who go through this program and have moved on. And I know many students keep in touch after that. Is this common, what you hear, that the kids who go through this Human Rights Academy continue on with that work when they go to college or beyond?
In one form or another. And I know that and with kids who don't go to my school but perform, they tell us year after year that this is different than the performances that they do in recitals and in other ways, because they know it's making a difference for people. Somebody from the Noah Shelter came backstage after the first one we ever did and told the performers that, and he put it pretty dramatically, he said, because of what you've done, there are people who will be alive this time next year.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
That changes the kids who do that in a long-term way.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you the last word for students who might be listening to this and thinking about, oh, you know, I don't know. Do I want to tell them why they would have a good experience in the Human Rights Academy?
I mean, human rights in general, and this applies to shelter and everything. It's if you have anything you can do, like anything that you think is a talent of yours, there is a forum for you to showcase it. I mean, things like shelter this year, we have someone who's going to go on stage and yo-yo, like, that is one of our performances, and that's his talent, and he's really good at it. Like, I didn't think it was possible to be that good at it. So I think that, you know, even if you don't think you're a human rights kind of person, you know, there's always something you can do.
Always something you can do. All right. I want to thank you, Ashley Gay. And Ashley, take care of that cold.
Thank you.
Ryan Edmond, Isabel Pellegrini, Miles Pellegrini, and Kaylee Brown. Thank you so much for joining us and for you know, it makes me so optimistic about your generation and all the great things that you're going to do. Also, thank you, Kate Epperle from the Barnstable County Human Rights Commission and Larry Brown from Cape Cod Academy. Thank you both for being here. We will have links with more information about the Barnstable County Human Rights Academy and the various activities students from Nauset, Provincetown, and Cape Cod Academy are planning at our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.